Okay, we'll start all over again. And a call to order, and we'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Start with roll call. I'm Mayor Peter Hopkins.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor Mike Kakanen.
Councillor Reg Moore.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Tanya Watkinson, Clerk Administrator.
Okay, I have declared a conflict of interest for 9.1.
Has the schedule even been completed?
Give it to the clerk. I have. And you can move over a second for the adoption of the
You leave now, don't you? It's number 4, declarations of conflict of interest.
I asked the clerk about that. She said not until after the adoption of the agenda.
But he doesn't have to leave the meeting.
How can he adopt the agenda if he has a conflict on the...
On 9.1. Okay. He has a conflict of interest on 9.1. Item 5 is the adoption of the agenda. So he has to leave after he adopts the agenda.
I'm just looking at what's on the agenda here, and that's the way it's sort of structured. So
we have Resolution 22-253. Be resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as presented. I need a mover and a second here, please. Councillor Haskam, second. Councillor Moore. Any discussion?
Point of order here. We had the meeting canceled on July 12, 2022 due to cool COVID-19 protocols. I've had inquiries about the COVID-19 protocols. As well, I've looked at the township website, have not been able to find any COVID-19 protocols. And anything that had any similar information, I've clicked on it and it said page not found. The health unit has a fact sheet. And it indicates that you've been identified as a close contact of someone who has tested positive for COVID-19 or someone with COVID-19 symptoms. Now what? Well, wear a well-fitting mask in public, including schools and childcare, and maintain physical distancing 10 days following your last exposure if leaving home. So I don't understand why, one, those who have had symptoms are not wearing a tight-fitting mask in this public setting. Secondly, early on in the COVID pandemic, I contacted the health unit, and they indicated it increases the risk of exposure in a confined area like this. Why are the council meetings not being held in the auditorium of the municipal building?
Actually, I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the agenda. This really doesn't have anything to do with the motion on the table.
It has to do with this meeting and the agenda. It's related to the agenda.
I don't think so.
Why isn't there a Zoom link for this meeting as well? I can read it for you. It's 2.6 in the procedural bylaw meeting location, unless otherwise authorized by council. All meetings of council shall be held in the council chambers at the municipal office located at 701 Highway 124, McKellar, Ontario. It's giving the address of where it's located. It says, first four words, unless otherwise authorized by council. It can take place any place in this building. You can't say that it has to only be in the council chambers. You know, if we want to have openness and transparency, we need to ensure that we make it as accessible to the public as possible. And if we want to follow the COVID-19 protocols, we have to ensure that we are adhering to the advice and guidelines of public health. So this is a concern of mine.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Thank you.
Okay, number five, are we delegations and presentations? There's none. Motion to review a previous motion. No, I believe not. Adoption of minutes of previous meetings. Okay, we can go on to number nine, planning matters. Perry Sound Area Planning Board Consent Decision B30/2022 Hopkins. And as you can see, there's a number of attachments. This is a resolution put on the table. We have a number. Would we have a mover and a seconder for this motion? Reg? Is there a seconder for this motion? Okay, dated July 18th, 2022, resolution 22-254, moved by Reg Moore, seconded by Mike Pekkanen. One consent. Application B30/2022 McKellar was heard by the Perry Sound Area Planning Board members at their regular meeting on June 27, 22. Secretary Treasurer of the Perry Sound Area Planning Board intentionally failed his duties to include the Township of McKellar resolution number 22-218 as a proposed municipal condition and information for the board members to make an informed decision on this consent. And further, the Secretary Treasurer did, however, provide a supplementary report and a letter of support for the consent from the applicants of the consent. In view of this, there has been a total disregard for the McKellar Council's resolution and all planning autonomy has unilaterally been taken away from the Township of McKellar. Now, therefore, the Council of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct the Clerk Administrator to file an appeal with the Ontario Land Tribunal by July, I believe that should be 18?
Yes.
15 on this. I'll stroke that off. Late to July 18.
We'll have to probably get initial that with the mover and seconder.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To make that change to July 18th, which I believe is today, and that would be the reason why this meeting was called for today, in case we need to meet that deadline. Okay, I guess we can then open up for comments from council, right?
I'd like to amend that a little bit, and I don't know whether I should do it now or wait till after discussion.
You could amend it now, and then that'll change the course of discussion possibly.
Okay. So after the last paragraph there, I'd like to add and further that the Clerk Administrator is hereby directed to file an appeal with the Ontario Land Tribunal each and every time the Perry Sound Area Planning Board decides to approve a consent without recognizing, having regard for, and adding McKellar Township conditions as adopted by resolution of council.
Okay.
You don't need to write that all now if you don't want to.
No, I think you'd have to vote on the amendment to the resolution.
So Morley will have to read it out. Discussion while Ian is reading there.
Personally, I think that should be a second.
I know, that's what resolution. I was going to say. I don't know whether council wants to consider that as part of this resolution or have it as a separate resolution after the mayor takes the seat again. I think maybe it's, I wasn't sure, but I thought maybe it could be this one, but maybe it doesn't deal with
right.
He doesn't have a conflict in that part of the resolution.
Okay, so this should be a separate resolution.
I kind of think it should be a separate resolution.
I agree. It sounds...
I think so.
And so then it'll have to be at tomorrow's council meeting and not today's.
Right. Okay.
As long as it's okay to have that resolution on the agenda.
Yeah. Yep, we can add that too. I can just amend the agenda.
Okay.
So that's good.
When I comment later on, you'll see that I had heard.
Do you have a copy of what you gave?
No.
No. I'll keep it in the
cup.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. Okay. There, Al, you can take copy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd like to finish speaking to that then, if I can.
Okay. Or start. I didn't even think you started yet.
Can I make a comment here? Just I was under the opinion. I thought that there was going to be a planner, a township planner.
Neither one of them were available. I wanted the township planner here just to become familiar with the court, with the matter. He does have the documentation, but he was booked otherwise, so he couldn't be here. And John Jackson also had additional, he had two municipal committees. So I did try to have them here. As I said, the information package here I have sent off to J.L. Richards, and I'll follow up with him afterwards. Yeah.
So first of all, I'd like to speak to that, in that because the planner here isn't here to give us information, and we don't have a planning report, we can still, because today's the final day for launching the appeal, we can still launch the appeal and then rescind it afterwards, call the ministry and tell them, no, we're dropping the appeal if the planning report says we don't have an appeal. But we have to launch the appeal today if we're going to at all. Today is the last day. You can't extend that date.
No.
Ontario Land Report won't even look at it.
No. The only body that can extend that date, I spoke to OLT, the only body that can extend that date is the Parry Sound Area Planning Board, and they're not going to extend the date. So it's got to be filed by 4 o'clock today if it's going to be filed.
And it can be filed with the Parry Sound Area Planning and Board and the OLT by email.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so I'll try starting again. So Council Resolution 22-18, read the conditions, was passed by Council at the June 14th, passed unanimously by Council at the June 14th Council meeting. And it went to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board shortly thereafter. I'd have to ask the clerk if it was the next day or whatever, but
the next day.
So June 15th, that resolution went to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board to be there in lots of time to prepare the agenda for the June 27th Parry Sound Area Planning Board meeting. The Planning Board Secretary / Planner decided that he would not put it on the agenda. It wasn't part of the agenda package. The planning board members who do the voting weren't even going to be aware of our resolution if I hadn't sent it to everybody. I had to send it to everybody, which is completely wrong in my mind. He's deciding to take control of everything himself and ignore what council is doing. So anyway, it still got turned down because he has the supposed knowledge to give to the planning board members, and he's telling the planning board members that he's done everything right and this isn't anything that should be part of the consent, what we wanted in our resolution. He did that based on a bylaw 2019-23 which we rescinded on March 17th, third reading of, on March 17th, 2022. It was by a recorded vote. And there was 5 yeas, including Mr. Hopkins, the applicant for the consent. So the applicant knew there was no bylaw that showed that there was no fish habitat, and the planner and secretary-treasurer of the planning board knew there was no bylaw that showed fish habitat. Yet they said that's what they were hanging their hat on.
So just to emphasize that point, that 2019-23... the mapping was incorrect, and that's one of the reasons why it was being repealed.
I was going to go on to say that it was rescinded based on the fact that the appeals of the bylaw referenced that the fish habitat mapping was wrong, and the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, in their review on October the 4th, 2019, said this: the environmental protection zone in the proposed zoning bylaw does not appear to be consistent with the environmentally sensitive lands designated in the official plan. That was one of their concerns. So the appeal was grounded on good information. And again, the planner for the Parry Sound Area Planning Board and the Secretary Treasurer knows all this stuff. He was involved in all of it. He's decided to ignore it. And I'm going to come right out and say he has a vendetta against McAllister. He's out to get us, and that's what he's doing. So anyway, to go on and say that he, like I said, he's founded all his information based on 2019-23. Regardless of that third reading of that bylaw, had never been rescinded. I believe we all know that we had two bylaws in place until it was, 95-12 and 2019-23. Whenever it comes to matters like this, you look at the most restrictive of the two. Which was the most restrictive, 95-12. So it wouldn't have mattered if it hadn't been rescinded. He still should have been looking at 95-12, not 2019-23. He's completely flawed in his planning report. And as the Secretary Treasurer, I'm not sure he should even be providing that planning report. So, anyway. So the official plan amendment, or the official plan that was in place whenever we looked at this application, was official plan, including amendment number 8. And that official plan, I provided copies at the June 14th meeting that showed that that official plan designated that property as type 1 fish habitat. It was clear. And that's the one that was in effect whenever we dealt with it and whenever they should have been dealing with it. The zoning bylaw that implemented those policies was 95-12, as I say, and I provided those maps at that June 14th meeting that showed that that was environmentally protected. So the zoning bylaw implemented the policies of the plan the way it's supposed to. And it was disregarded completely.
Excuse me, I'm just going to open the door there if anyone else wants to.
As long as the mayor is sitting out there, he's supposed to be there, not in the meeting. The mayor isn't sitting out there, is he?
No.
So what else do I have here? So the bottom line is there are no facts to back any of this up. Mr. Jackson has said that he's reviewed the aerial photography and says there is no type 1 habitat there. At the June 14th meeting, I asked him if he was a biologist and could look at those maps and intelligently give that opinion. I'm not sure I got a good answer or not. I don't think I did. And when was he looking? What time of the year were the maps looked at? Maybe it was early spring, there wouldn't be any fish habitat. If it's this time of the year, there's lots of habitat. So, you know, like to review area photography, you'd say, no, there's no habitat there. I don't agree with that argument at all. So the reason for this resolution is I believe we have to appeal this as a starting point. It's completely wrong. It isn't the first time he's done this. And we have to take a stand on it or else we've lost all our planning autonomy for the township. The other three townships in the planning board and Mr. Jackson are deciding our future first, not the township themselves.
Okay, any other comments?
I will have a minute left in here to study the door with this. I don't know if that's good. As Councilor Moore had indicated somewhere in the report from Mr. Jackson, I thought it had indicated that it didn't show any fish habitat according to an aerial photo. Is that somewhere there was some mention that there was no...
That's what I just spoke to.
Okay, yes. So looking back from the July 13th, 2021 council meeting, we had the application B25-2021 McKellar. This was flood. And in that report, it indicated that during a preliminary review of the consent, it was noted that much of the shoreline had been recorded as having type 1 fish habitat. The air photo did not illustrate the same extent of aquatic vegetation. The applicant retained a biologist to assess the extent of habitat in the context of the proposed consent. A copy of this report is attached. A fish habitat assessment illustrates areas along the shore that are severed and retained lands that are free of type 1 fish habitat. So if, you know, according to the report from Mr. Jackson, he was going by aerial photos, and as you indicated, he's not a biologist. And this report here from B25-2021 McKellar indicates that the aerial photos are not very accurate in indicating the extent and type of fish habitat.
If you're done there, Mike, I'd like to add to that and what I just said. It, reviewing aerial photography or even site evaluations should be based on a year when, on the time of year whenever the habitat is there. That was July, so there would have been lots of habitat there. This was, his report is June the 6th, so he probably done the application of March 17th, I think I seen here somewhere. The application for consent.
So,
17th of March. So anyway, depending on when he did the aerial review or site inspection, if he did, there may not have been any habitat there at all. It's quite possible.
And as well, that's sort of confirmed in the B25-2021, page 3, under the heading approach. The intent was to inspect the entire shoreline by boat and confirm the extent and location of the type 1 fish habitat. The type 1 fish habitat fronting the property was associated with dense aquatic microphytes. Typically, these investigations would be completed during the midsummer to ensure the aquatic plants are plainly visible.
Right.
And as well in the, this was actually the report part of the B25-2021, John Jackson, G, restrictions. In addition to the zoning bylaw, the lands will be subject to 5126 agreement registered to, on title to reflect the private road access and the protection of habitat features. H, conservation resources, the recognition of the protection measures along the shoreline as set out by the environmental consultant will ensure these features are maintained. So that's, to ensure consistency with the concern about the type 1 fish habitat. I think that the resolution point number 3 passed by council is reasonable in this circumstance.
I agree, and it's not only reasonable, I think it's a duty of council to make sure they enforce their documents. These documents are put in place, the official plan and zoning bylaw, by mandate of the province in order to give us planning autonomy to be able to create properties in that. If we're going to ignore our documents and proceed however we want, then there's no guarantee that autonomy is going to be maintained. The province may step in and say, you guys don't know what you're doing. You aren't even looking at your documents. We're going to take the planning authority back. It'll be back at Queen's Park where it used to be. So I believe we have to take a stand here.
I do have a couple of questions regarding the information that was provided in the July 12th, 22 council package relating to this matter.
July 12th,
the council meeting?
Yes.
Council's package?
Last Tuesday's meeting.
Last Tuesday's. And so there was a supplementary report provided, and I think it's listed 9.16. There's no date on that I could see. Just wondering when that was provided, I guess to the, would have been provided probably to the planning board.
I believe I received this the day of the planning board meeting. Marley might be able to verify that.
No,
it was with the agenda, sorry. So I received it on the Friday prior to the June 27th meeting, so it would be the 24th, June 24th. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to you?
Mm-hmm. And then on the
and the Hopkins supplementary report, or not supplementary, but the Hopkins report I received the day of the planning board meeting.
And I believe it's the next item is the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board letter of decision. And there was a third item under municipal compliance letter requirements that was that's stroked out. It had been listed there and it had been stroked out.
Marley can speak to that.
That was on the motion from the planning board?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Under municipal compliance letter requirements, there's two typewritten, requirements, and there's a third handwritten one that's stroked out.
Yeah, now one of the board members, I believe it was news to me, added this in. It may have been the chairperson, possibly, I don't know. And I can't quite read, but I think they're considering that if the application passed, that should there be some sort of some environmental assessment required in the future on the lot addition section. So I think that was discussed, and the board said no, they don't want that condition in there either. So,
and that's the chair's initials, is it?
Yes, it would be.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, LG, Lynn Gregory. Any other comments? You're still working on it, Mike, are
you? No, I think that wraps up any of the questions for me at this point in time.
The only thing that I'd like to add is that maybe I've dwelled on it enough, but the secretary, treasurer, planner of the planning board decided that, again, to just ignore our resolution, yet he found it proper to put a supplementary planning report in, which I might add, is paid for by the planning board, which is we're part of it, and had no problem and adding that at the 11th hour, yet had our resolution 2 weeks ahead of time and still didn't add it. And he seen it in the best interest to add a report or letter from the applicants at the 11th hour, but didn't put our resolution in. So every bit of information he provided to the voting members was information that he wanted them to have, not information they should have had.
Now, I would add to that one piece of information that, yeah, he did not include, which I agree totally, and that was council passing that third condition. Thanks to Reg, the board members did receive that that day prior to the meeting, so they did have an opportunity to take that into consideration also.
Yes, they did, but like I said, their decision is based on what the Secretary Treasurer tells them.
Right, but that's their board members are probably not as well educated in planning as, you're probably the most knowledgeable of them all, Reg, and they have to rely on the professional recommendations.
It's very unfortunate.
So I just want to make one comment.
Yes, sure.
Just want to make a comment. And my position on today's resolution of going forward with this appeal to the Ontario Land Tribunal is that there's an understanding that there's going to be a planning report done as soon as possible. And if the planning report sees that there's merit that it goes forward, then we have grounds to stand on, and if not, that it can be withdrawn, so that it's we don't end up taking a path that's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of dollars for no reason, that there'll be an ability, if the planning report from the township planner indicates, that there's merit or not merit.
So you want that as part of the resolution?
See what the other members of council...
Say it again, Mike. I missed the beginning part.
So by launching this appeal, it's quite a lengthy, expensive process. But we don't have a planning opinion from a planner representing the municipality here today.
Right.
And that's a bit of concern to me. And... but there is this deadline for today of launching the appeal of the decision. So as long as there's an understanding by council that if the planning report that the planner representing the municipality indicates that this is worth going forward with or not, that we can and will withdraw, so that it doesn't cost the taxpayers a lot of money going through a process that may not seem, and I need a professional opinion to tell me.
Sure.
So,
I speak for that.
Yes, sir.
I understand what Mike's saying, but I don't think we need that as part of the resolution. I would hope that any council worth their salt would listen to a professional report from their own planner. Like Morley said, council again doesn't have the knowledge. They're going to listen to the knowledge. I don't think we need that in the resolution to say that we will withdraw the appeal if our planning opinion isn't in favor of the township. The township has a right to withdraw it at any time. It happens all the time.
The problem here is that undergoing a process like this, I would have wanted to have a planning opinion here today representing, the municipality, and a professional planning opinion on the situation. We don't have that.
But with that being said, there's hardly a council meeting going by that we don't pass a zoning bylaw amendment or a minor variance or something that somebody else could appeal to the planning board. We have no planning opinion for that, other than Mr. Jackson's in the past. So you could end up in an appeal and cost the taxpayer money from a decision at any time. Not just a decision to go to the OLT yourself. It could work in reverse for every decision you make, or decisions you make at every council meeting. So to me, it's not an argument at all. No, that's enough for now. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyways, that is a concern that we don't have a planning opinion here today. I was under the impression that be a professional planner here, and that would have been fully versed in this information.
Do we have any plans to ask for one? I recognize the deadline today, but I mean beyond that, do we have a plan to?
I've been in touch with JR. They just, it was short notice, they couldn't make it for today, but he does have all of the paperwork, and he's waiting for the result of this meeting, and then he'll go through everything.
The other thing we have to keep in mind is that we can't predict the future, but I believe the planning board has a resolution in place, and they will not on their own fight appeals. They don't have the funds for it. It has to be the municipality that's applicable to that consent. That was before my time. Is that true, Mark?
That's quite possible because of the, I guess, they had built up a reserve of time, which is basically the municipality's money. And I guess one appeal just drained them right dry of $20,000 or $30,000. So I believe, whether it would stand or not, but I believe a motion was passed stating that they would just try to avoid any appeals in the future, mainly because they don't have the financial resources for it. It all falls back on the municipalities. So basically just trying to just put it back into the municipalities' hands, similar to what you're saying, right?
So I would hope that the council wouldn't pay for the planning board's fees to fight us. If that's where the money has to come from.
The definition of irony.
The only other place the money could come from is if the applicant or the recipient of the property that is in question would want to pay for it. So, with that being said, I don't know whether there's much chance we'll incur much cost here.
So there will be a planning report regarding this matter as soon as possible?
Yep, I'm working with Jason.
Great, thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Nick?
In reading through the various papers, which I did last week, and just refreshed myself again, the thing that jumped out a bit at me was, I'm not sure if this is technically a letter, but the one that we have is 9.1.6, or BI.
It's a supplementary report?
Yes, this one. The paragraph, which is the fourth paragraph, and he says, further, I indicated that even if there were potential concerns over natural heritage impacts, the purpose of the consent was for a lot addition to a neighboring landowner who had no particular development plans at this time. And more importantly, I think the key sentence here is he says, when a specific proposal comes forward, if it does, an assessment could be done at that time. And to me, that's what jumped out at me out of reading all of the papers that are here. In other words,
so can I speak to that? So we have a piece of property that half of the property, by our planning documents, is EP type 1 habitat. We have a half of the property that has no habitat on it based on our documents. The half that has none on it is all going to the recipient. The retained parcel with all the habitat on it, the retained parcel with all the habitat on it is staying with the applicant. Prior to this application taking place, the applicant had property that was EP type 1 habitat free. Our planning documents, the official plan, says that whenever you're doing planning stuff like this, you have to make sure that you retain enough property to, that's not the exact wording, but you have enough property for recreational purposes on the waterfront. Things like swimming or docking or going in and out with boats or whatever, so you aren't destroying that habitat. He's taking all that habitat away and selling it to the neighbor. All the EP-free habitat's being gone. So the other option is to retain some of that. It doesn't say there's an amount, it just says you have to retain some. It used to say 15 meters, but that was changed in the last amendment or second last amendment to the official plan. Now it just says you have to have some that's free. So there's to me, there's two options here. You can either do the study to show that there is EP free in front of that property, or you keep part of what is EP free.
And that almost requires a professional opinion kind of on that.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate there is. We have the different zoning bylaw mapping in place where the most recent didn't show any EP on either section, and the one prior to that did show, I believe it wasn't totally covered with EP, but it had a section.
Half and half.
Yeah. So the way I read it a little bit is, yeah, any consent applications in the past that had a lot of EP zone, or I shouldn't say, because I don't know for sure whether there was ever any totally what usually came of it, and I believe even going through the appeal process, is the recommendation is to only allow a small amount to allow a person a dockage area kind of thing, like 5% of the shoreline or 10% seems to be the normal coming out of that usually. So whether you look at this, even the most stringent mapping in our of course, did you say that our the 9512 was totally EP?
Yeah, half and half.
Half and half.
Yeah.
So none of the mapping indicates that the Hopkins portion of that severance is totally EP?
Yeah, all the retained is.
Okay, in all, one of the mappings.
All our mapping, the official plan and the zoning bylaw, right up to where the dividing line is for the proposed severance, is all EP on the Hopkins retained.
Yeah. Not the mapping. I'm looking at, I see just one speck of EP zone.
So go back to the... you look at the proposed dividing line for the consent straight up through here. This is all EP. This is all free.
Excuse my ignorance. Can you show me where it says that, or how do you know that? I know you're saying it, but I mean, what's the evidence that says so? Okay. And do we have that one too? Is that in this patch?
That's the one I showed you at the last meeting.
No.
That's the one that's wrong. That's the one Jackson used for his parking from 2019-23.
Okay.
And that's part of the problem is the most recent one did only have the one little speck of EP. That's the one that...
You shouldn't even be looking at it. It's not there. We don't have it. It's gone. We rescinded that.
Right, but you think if it goes for appeal, they're not going to still take that into consideration?
Did you not hear what I said?
I've been trying to listen to you, yeah.
So 2019-23 was rescinded by council on March 17th.
Right.
Unanimously.
And that was the mapping
and,
that
yeah,
had
the,
only a little bit of EP. Yeah.
The 2019-23,
right.
Yes. And,
but the
and
reason for that...
because of the appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And the appeals, part of those appeals were that the EP zones did not reflect the designations in the official plan. The official plan hasn't changed. If you look at the official plan mapping, it shows exactly what the zoning bylaw shows. It's right up to that dividing line for the property. So the official plan has never changed. Why John used 2019-23 zoning bylaw? He should have used the official plan, and then he would have been using the type 1 habitat that was in place. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the appeals were because the zoning was wrong. The fish habitat mapping did not line up with the official plan from the zoning to the EP, 2019 to the EP, or to the official plan. And the ministry, I read it to you what they said. The ministry, whenever they did the review of the bylaws, said they did not reflect the fish habitat on the official plan. So those shouldn't even be looked at. They're garbage.
So with your experience, Reg, you believe that if it is appealed, that there will actually be a site visit? I guess there will need to be a site visit,
if
it's appealed?
If the decision is to agree with the municipality and that a a study is required within the biologist will most definitely go out and do a study.
Right.
Look at it and decide what type of habitats there are and what needs to be done in that.
And he'll only look at the retained section because the other section doesn't. He may look at it but has no EP zone.
He'll look at the whole thing.
Yeah. So he'll look at the whole thing, and what he's going to look at is an existing property that has a. Because I believe the application is over 2,000 feet of frontage. I don't know
like
how.
This.
Oh yeah, it's at,
but that isn't frontage. That's water frontage, but that isn't frontage in the planning document. The straight line measurements frontage.
Right, but they're going to look at that and they're going to say, well, it's, what's here is here. You're not proposing to add any more.
No, but listen to what I said. So as it stands right now, he has a piece of property that's half EP, half not EP, according to our planning document. So he has lots of EP-free area to carry on recreational stuff on the waterfront without damaging the EP. But he's selling all that. So he's changing his property so that he has no EP free frontage left. It's all protected. So now where are the recreational activities going to take place?
Well, basically what I'm going by past history that I mentioned, that they'll usually always say, well, you're only allowed a percentage for your recreational activity.
In the EP?
That's right.
Well, the official plan says no. You have to have enough free of that in order to have those recreational activities.
Yeah, well, that's, you definitely have a good point, Reg, so it's being taken into consideration, I'm sure.
Any other? I need to use the men's room, I'll be right back.
But and to add to this,
maybe just wait until the counselor gets back.
Okay. Yeah. So what I wanted to add is to me, what we're discussing just most recently here about fish habitat, non-fish habitat, and EP-free and whatnot is kind of redundant because that's not the topic of the resolution at all. The topic of the resolution is the appeal to the decision about whether it was fish habitat and whether it required a biologist or not was made at the June 14th council meeting. That's why that resolution was passed. That resolution specifically says unanimously that yes, it requires a biologist to review it. You know, like, so to me, that discussion right now is it's just a refresher, it's nothing else, because we've already decided that. As far as time of the year goes, if we look out the window there over at that shore over there, there's nothing but lily pads, and that I can guarantee you it's all type 1 habitat on the map, pretty sure it will be. And if that was done in March or April, there'd be nothing there.
Ice.
Okay. Any other comments? If I could make a short little comment prior to bringing it to a vote, because I'd like to know kind of where I'm coming from, because I out of full respect to Councillor Moore, who is quite appreciated coming forward with all this information. And I agree totally that that Clause 3 should have been included in the Parry Sound Area Board members' package, so they could make an informed decision. They did receive it, so they made their decision. And I don't know from what I'm reading, a lot of this has to do with the process is more to me than it does in the application itself. And going forward, as you registered, Morley, I know where you're going now, but... again, and Councillor Keckinen brought it up, is to, for the township to appeal this. My feeling is, yes, there's going to be costs to the township. Not only our direct costs, I believe, right, Ina, but now whether the Parry Sound Area Planning Board gets pulled into it, may have costs, or where is that coming from us also? And then, not that I should care, but you know what, I am a human being, and this is McKellar, and I've full respect with it for everybody in this room, including the applicants. And my feeling is, why should we put residents of McKellar Township through a process that's probably going to cost thousands of dollars and lots of time? That's, I'm sorry, I put a human element to my feelings on this, so I just thought I'd mention that so you kind of know where I'm coming from, so it's not a surprise at the end of the day why would he vote like that. So I just thought I would state that. Now, Rich also was thinking of adding something on to this resolution, and right in my notes here, I have I wrote down, I would suggest, regardless of the results of this resolution, that a resolution be drafted for our next council meeting. It's not exactly what Rich had, but it's the same idea. I would suggest that our clerk work it to get the message you're trying to get across, Rich, and so am I, stating that municipal resolutions in their entirety, including all municipal conditions and any concerns by the municipality, shall be forwarded to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board members prior to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board meeting. So I'd like to see a resolution basically stating that and incorporating also Reg's suggestions. So,
I'd like to speak.
Sure. Reg.
And I'm going to speak to what you said. I'm not sure just when costs come into planning issues. You know yourself, Morley, hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent over the years on official plans and zoning bylaws. To the guy that's doing the official plan stuff now and the zoning bylaw that's not compliant. So since when does costs come into play? That future resolution could very easily, that you want in the future, could very easily add cost to taxpayers. So your argument that you can't consciously cost the taxpayers money is not founded at all as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't see how that's my suggestion. That resolution would cost the taxpayers money. That's just basically making sure that what the municipality, not only McKellar, but the other existing municipalities, because there's a lot of times...
Can you read it again?
Stating, and word, and properly worded, that municipal resolutions, not just McKellar, all of them that are within the planning board.
In this is our resolution, though?
Oh, any future resolutions coming from McKellar.
Okay.
And any municipality to the board, because this is a lot of what happened possibly.
Yeah, but what you're reading is a resolution that we're going to pass.
No, I'm just suggesting that maybe we consider it in the future.
But it's just, it's consideration for a future resolution, then how else would you do it?
Yes, this is just only consideration for a future resolution, just similar to the one you introduced that we may pass or look at, consider tomorrow night.
So you can go ahead and read it, but all I can say is that we know from past practice that the planning board doesn't care about our resolutions, so
but
you can pass all the resolutions you want.
Well, if this is endorsed, we would have this copy to the other participating municipalities. I would have to think they would have to agree. I can't see them not wanting all the information.
Carry on. I just want to make a point here that if we don't go forward with this appeal, how would the planning board be able to take it seriously, this secondary resolution about, that the planning board needs to take municipal resolutions seriously if there isn't any weight behind it with an appeal verifying that you know, this is an important piece of information that the planning board cannot overlook. There has to be some weight. You can't not pass, you know, the process to go forward with an appeal and then pass a resolution like that because it has no weight. You're not backing up your words with, you know, with any substantial actions. And secondly, you know, with costs, that's why I want to have a planning report as soon as possible so it doesn't delay the process, and if there are merits it goes forward, if there aren't, that it stops right then and there. And we need that professional opinion to ensure that it doesn't proceed. You know, there's not going to be a professional planner that's going to go forward with something that doesn't have merit. And that's who we need to make that decision on our behalf, is that professional planner that decides. So that, I think it's important that this goes forward with this resolution as soon as possible. It should have been here today, a planning report, and then this could have been a moot point either way. But I think since we do not have that, that has to be one of the pieces of information that we have as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree, and it really would have been nice to, because like say a lot of decision making may be based on, you know, the professional people involved here, and if we had, you know, another commenting agency in there, yeah, that would have definitely helped us make a decision going forward. But as far as this meeting today, we'll make a decision and go from there, I guess. Any other comments? We'll bring us to a
poll.
Start a vote. Just I do want to make the comment that this everything that Councilor Moore has stated and indicated, Council unanimously were concerned about enough. They were concerned enough that 0.3 added to the consent application as the commenting agency, and that was not provided directly to the members as a concern. And and when there was other consent applications like 2021, where that was flagged, it was flagged because of a provincial policy statement requirements. It said right in that report that it was flagged, and immediately the owners went and had the biologists come in and do the inspection to ensure that they were compliant with the provincial policy statement. So I think at this point in time, with the information that we have, it's my opinion that appeal goes forward, professional planner looks at it, and if there's no merit, then it stops. But be consistent with other applications and with the provincial policy statement and our official plan and zoning. That's why those guiding documents are there. So that's my opinion.
Okay, I guess we're ready for a vote.
Okay.
Can you read the resolution?
Please, read the whole resolution again.
July 18, 22, Resolution 22254, moved by Rich Moore, seconded by Mike Kekkonen. Councillors, when consent application B30/2022 McKellar was heard by the Perry Sound Area Planning Board members at the regular meeting of June 27, 2022, Secretary Treasurer of the Perry Sound Area Planning Board intentionally failed his duties to include the Township McKellar Resolution number 22218 as a proposed municipal condition and information for the board members to make an informed decision on this consent. And further, the Secretary Treasurer did, however, provide a supplementary report and a letter of support for the consent from the applicants of the consent. In view of this, there has been a total disregard from the McKellar Council's resolution, and all planning autonomy has literally been taken away from the Township of McKellar. Now, therefore, the Council of Township of McKellar does hereby direct the Clerk Administrator to file an appeal with the Ontario Land Tribunal by July 18th,
22. Can I just say that that's not literally, it's unilaterally?
Oh,
so in other words, the resolution doesn't blame the planning board members. It blames the secretary, treasurer, the planner for the planning board.
Yeah,
it does say you.
Yeah, I pronounce it wrong.
Okay, recorded vote. Councilor Mike Heckman.
Yes.
Councilor Reg Moore.
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
No.
Mayor, Deputy Mayor Maureen Hassman.
No. Defeated.
Wonderful.
Hopefully in the community center. Hopefully with the Zoom link. We were told everything's working 100% at a recent meeting. Why are we not over here?
My only issue is I had real trouble hearing in there, right? The sound quality in there is abysmal, frankly, for me. But I got to hear a boss problem. I admit that. But I mean, that's the nature of the problem. But it makes it very difficult. So. But if we get the mics working like we had them in here the other day, that helped a lot. I could hear it for that whole meeting. So. Are those the mics? Those are the mics we used in here. Can we use them next door too?
They.
Can I borrow them?
Or they go through that speaker, don't they? Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I don't know whether they will work with the system or not.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the number?
Where's the number? Just signed.
The left before you, somewhere.
So resolution 22-255 years old. If the council national clerks hereby give bylaw number 2022-36 being bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council first and second reading, and further at a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of July 2022. Over and second, please. So asking Councilor Ryland, any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Resolution 22-256 be resolved that the Council of National Colors hereby adjourn this meeting at
11:04
p.m. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Eskin, Councilor Ryland, any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? All right, thank you. Sure.
To their mouth, like Peter, guilty for the longest time. You know,
you stay back.
Yeah, you got to get up to.
Or too quick. because he doesn't translate.
Right? Oh, yeah, right.
You have to have it.